JC Corcoran Podcast.
I have an entire list of Disney stuff here.
Okay.
As we get ready for our big giveaway starting Monday morning. As soon as you know the movie, you yell it out.
Ooh, I may not be very good at this at all.
Well, good then, John. Kick her ass. Go ahead.
I'll try, JC.
She didn't have sparks to gang up on us.
Go easy on me.
I'll do my best.
Right, lone so chick in the studio.
See how you do here. As soon as you know the movie, go.
Be.
Ooh, Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
John.
Beauty and the Beast.
That's the second best Disney movie ever.
Keep score.
Okay. Oh, great.
She was right. If I say she's right, does that mean that, well, I knew it?
All right, Sean. Here you go. Here's number two.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Dance with music. Music. Sound of music. No.
Mary Poppins is right.
I'm sure that was some quality radio right there. As we freak out.
All right, here we go. John.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple
Winnie the Pooh.
What'd you say?
Jungle Book?
Jungle Book is right. John, are you in the house much?
I just can't get that stuff fast. I don't know. All right, come on. I can't get shut out.
Come on, here we go. Give me a hint. It's Randy Newman.
Yeah, I know that.
You got a friend.
Is it Monsters, Inc.?
Nope.
You got a friend.
The other one.
the other one.
Monsters, Inc.
Toy Story.
I couldn't think of it. Oh, Chicks 5, Dudes, Zich.
Here we go.
The Lion King.
John gets on the board.
I was going to say Survivor, but then I remembered it's not a Disney product.
It does
product.
Kind of sound like that.
Survivor. It's the only thing they don't own. Here you go.
A Lion King.
Very good. Just can't wait to be king. As long as I keep giving John Lion King.
I just watched it the other day with my daughter.
As long as I keep giving John Lion King questions, he's doing well.
Hakuna
Lion King.
Lion King.
Lion King.
Oh, damn it.
All right, here's the next one.
Lion King.
You're right. She's just yelling out Lion King. She's
trying to kill me.
All right, here we go.
Lion King.
No. Bill Collins.
Yeah, the other one.
The
Indian girl.
The Indian girl.
It's not Mulan.
Pocahontas. Nakasima, yeah. Pocahontas.
No.
Mulan?
No.
No. Tarzan.
Tarzan is right.
Damn it! Pocahontas. No.
No.
The same one.
Tarzan?
Tarzan.
I want to be in Jeopardy with you because you almost give the answer, but you get it wrong, and then I'll just sneak in and get it right.
Just lay in the weeds.
Just
lay in the weeds and hammer me.
I feel like Alex Trebek. Ooh, I'm so sorry. No, it's not. Rosie O'Donnell.
Mulan.
Little Mermaid?
Nope.
Lion King.
That's Ellen DeGeneres right there with the love voice. No, that's Tarzan also. That's Tarzan.
Oh, man. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Right now, it's 9 for the chicks, 2 for the dudes, and I gave them both of them.
I got to try to keep her from getting 10. Come on.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
And with that we say hello. Hi, everybody. It's May 4th, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com.
I don't know. Maybe she got tired of him being both micro and soft in bed. But Bill and Melinda Gates splitting after 27 years of marriage. They can no longer believe that they can grow together as a couple, blah, 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 blah. They have three adult kids. And in the bank, they got a couple of bucks, $137 billion, which is going to have to be split up between the two of them. First of all, what goes wrong in a marriage after 27 years? What is it that you can just no longer put up with? After 27 years! And that's before you even get into all the financial aspects of this breakup. Can you imagine what the lawyers are thinking for both sides? By the time this thing is over and the case is adjudicated, both lawyers, after they get their take, are going to be rich. They're going to be as rich as both Bill and Melinda Gates. You know, that is the thing about marriage. I think when I learned that Albert Einstein had been divorced, I think it was three times. If the smartest man in the world can't figure out how to make a marriage work, what chance do we have? Albert Einstein, like his first marriage, he leaves the cap off the toothpaste. The wife comes in and goes, "What are you, stupid?" No, I'm Albert Einstein, actually. Great Cardinal baseball game last night. Remember when you used to be able to get free games on TV? You know, Channel 5 had them for a long time. Channel 11 had them for a long time. And now there's almost no free baseball. Once in a while, you get a network game on a weekend, but that's about it. I was in the hospital last week. I was talking a little bit about this yesterday. You have basic cable. I don't know how anybody watches anything on basic cable anymore, because you get about 4 minutes of programming followed by about 8 minutes of commercials. 4 minutes of programming, 8 minutes of commercials. I don't know how anybody does that. And now, this morning we get a word that Thursday Night Football, which has been a problem for the NFL for a long time. They tried to force the games onto the NFL Network, and a lot of people didn't have the NFL Network because it was extra. People had to pay extra for it, and the ratings were lousy, and they've been moving it around. It's just been a problem for the NFL since the very beginning, and now, on top of it, Thursday Night Football moving to Amazon Prime a year early. They originally told us 2023. Now it's next year, 2022. So if you want to see Thursday Night Football games, got to get Amazon Prime. There's a lot of people who think that pretty soon, like maybe in the next 3 to 5 years, all NFL games, all of them, will be on some sort of pay platform. You're going to have to shell out if you want to see the NFL. We'll see. This Conan O'Brien thing, which has been bleeding, one of the slowest deaths I've ever witnessed in show business on TBS, finally ending on June 24th. And if you care, Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz are launching a Monkees farewell tour in September. There are only two Monkees left. IMC to Monkees show at the Fox Theater. Oh gosh, I don't know how many years this was. Probably the last time they were in town. And I was taken by two things. It was absolute chaos backstage. They're introducing the Monkees. They're literally like 10 seconds from going out on stage, and they're having some sort of, it wasn't an argument, but it was like, "No, don't do this, don't do that. No, if you do this, I'm going to, no, yeah, okay, good." I'm like, you guys are out on tour. You perform like every other night in a different city. What is there to discuss 10 seconds before you're supposed to go out on stage? You go out, you play your Monkees songs. And then they go out and they play a Monkees song to start the show. And then the next two songs weren't even Monkees songs. He did Oliver on Broadway, and he's up there, "Oh, consider yourself one of the family." I'm like, play Pleasant Valley fucking Sunday, for God's sakes. Play Last Train to Clarksville. And Davy Jones, even shorter than I thought. I figured he was like 4'11". He was like 4'6". He was starting to get into dwarf territory there. Something with those oldies shows. You know, I worked at one of the oldies stations for a couple of years. And, you know, we bring these acts in. And you figure, you know, oh, this will be fun. You know, real upbeat 60s, peace, love. We did a show out at Riverport with John Kay of Steppenwolf. And I'm standing there getting ready to introduce the show. And John Kay walks by. And I go, "Hey, John, welcome to St. Louis." And he just goes, I'm like, okay, can't win them all. It was more than I got out of David Clayton Thomas from Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Hi, David. Welcome to St. Louis. He just walked by like I was a statue. But in their defense, you know, they're going town to town and people say stupid stuff, even the people backstage and the disc jockeys and stuff like that who are working the show and pulling like a Chris Farley. Remember when you sang Spinning Wheel? That was awesome. A guy tweeted a picture of a smart water faucet in a public bathroom last week that's going viral because it shows why we really don't need that. The faucet controlled by a touch screen, but it won't pour any water because the screen has an error message. Internal storage running out. Don't try to reinvent the bathroom. First of all, a bathroom, especially a public bathroom, is no place for technology. You go in, you do your business, you wash your hands with some soap and water, you dry your hands, and you get out as fast as you can. I think it could be argued successfully that there's never been an instance in a public bathroom where there's a sufficient amount of water, a sufficient amount of towels, a sufficient amount of soap, all at the same time, you know, where everything was working. Which brings us back to the Bill and Melinda Gates issue, and maybe this is what broke them up. Bill Gates wants to reinvent the world's toilets. He was speaking to the World Health Organization. Approximately 2.3 billion people don't have access to the basic sanitation afforded by modern plumbing. Okay, that's a noble effort to want to try to do something about that. But here's where it gets interesting. On November 6th, 2018, Bill Gates spoke at the Reinvented Toilet Expo in Beijing, China. That must have been a tough ticket. The Reinvented Toilet Expo, a place where inventors and organizations showed off cutting-edge, bacteria-killing, literally life-saving bathroom technology. And Gates really wanted to drive home his message about how dangerous and disgusting of a problem poor sanitation can be. So during his speech, he holds up a jar, sealed, thankfully, of human feces, to demonstrate how many toxic bacteria are present in even a small amount of human feces. The jar, he said, could hold as many as 200 trillion viruses, 20 billion other viruses, parasitic worms, eggs. Jeez, I hope you're not eating right now. And one of these reinvented toilets at the Reinvented Toilet Expo was a thing called the nanomembrane toilet. Here's how it works. After a person does their business, they close the lid. That sets a series of gears into motion, which flush waste away into a holding tank at the bottom of the toilet, but without needing any water or electricity. As the mechanism rids the toilet of waste, a thin blade scrapes the bowl clean. A spiral device elevates only the solid parts of the waste out of the holding tank, cutting into small pellets and then feeding it into a tiny combustion chamber. That's where the poop gets burned and all the bacteria and eggs and whatever other nasties go to a fiery death. The user has to clean out the ashtray once a week. Okay, a couple of things about this. I'm not comfortable sitting right above something where there are blades and fire happening. My butt, my junk, is just sitting several inches above where all this is going to be happening. Blades and fire. It's bad enough. You get nightmares after you see one of those stories about somebody sitting on the toilet and they're like, what's going on down here? And they look and a giant snake or something comes out. Now you got to worry about sitting a couple of inches above an incinerator. Maybe Melinda just finally looked at him and said, I'm sorry, you're losing it, pal. You might have trillions of dollars, but you've lost it, bud. And now this.
When a man meets the woman he loves, everything changes. His heart races, his head spins. And suddenly all the dozens and dozens of women he's sleeping with no longer matter. A few years ago, I found the woman I love, and I've put some of my feelings into this little ode. Every man needs a woman, and I need you. To lift me when I am sad, to comfort me when I am down, to clean me when I am drunk, to walk beside me when I want to look like I am not gay. to walk in front of me when I need someone to act as a human windbreak. To kiss me when I am horny. To massage me when I am tense and or horny. To make me horny when I am not horny. And then to watch me fall asleep. I need you, darling, to clean between my toes when they are not clean to my satisfaction. To pick the nits out of my hair when I have head lice. To try milk for me when I am not sure of the expiration date. To be there when I need you to be there, and to be out of town the rest of the time. My darling, although it may seem sentimental, I want to take this moment to tell you I love you, because I don't want to lose half my stuff. Good night, my love.
Today is National Teachers Day, and after this past year, giving your kids teachers a present is probably the least thing you can do. The average teacher works about 10 hours a day, 52 hours a week. 92.4% of teachers spend their own money on things for their classroom or their students. Teachers make an average of 14% less money than other jobs that need the same level of education. The average retirement age for teachers is 59, and 20% of school teachers have a second job outside of teaching. So buy the teacher a damn Starbucks gift card today, all right? Maybe some flowers. Maybe some Xanax. Couple of quick radio stories, anniversaries. Got to go back to 1987. For this one, I had just left Keishi and was off the air for a couple of months serving on a non-compete. And we were just getting ready to kick off a brand new show at the time was 93.7 KSD. And that station was on the air for many years and we did really, really well. But when you're starting off a new station, you got to do something to get people's attention and get them to stop listening to whatever it is they already are listening to and get them to change and move over to you. So what do? You run some TV commercials, but not just any TV commercial. Here's what we did. Now, you got to remember, this is 87. So the, as they say, cable penetration in St. Louis was still very, very small. Very few people had cable TV in St. Louis in 1987. So they were still watching the networks, which made it a lot easier to advertise. We put something up called a roadblock. And it was Sunday night. I think it was about a little after 7 o'clock. So whether you were watching 4 or 5 or 11 or Channel 2, didn't matter, because what we did is we bought a TV commercial to run on all, I guess it was 5 stations, on all 5 stations at exactly the same time. See, that's one of those things that people don't realize. You ever watching TV and you're not really that interested in the show, so it goes to a commercial, so you flip channels and they're in a commercial too. And then you flip channels again, and they're in a commercial too. That's by design. And the explanation of that would take way too long, but just suffice to say that that's by design. So as I said, what we did is we bought the commercial to run on all 5 stations at exactly the same time. It's referred to in the business as a roadblock. Now, instead of saying, J.C. Corcoran comes back to the radio, and that's certainly one way to do it, we chose a separate route, and the following day it led to this report by John Pertzborn, at that time on Channel 5.
Local St. Louis TV stations have been flooded with calls. John Pertzborn says the viewers all want to know one thing. Is St. Louis becoming radioactive?
All day, people have been talking about something they saw on St. Louis's local TV stations during the past 24 hours.
Well, I was watching TV, and all of a sudden it said something about St. Louis being radioactive, and they had the snow across the TV, and it looked like the TV had gone off for a second, and everything was normal again. What was that all about?
That's what everyone wants to know after seeing this.
Warning. Beginning May 11th, St. Louis will become radioactive.
My husband thought that it was, he's just said nuclear something in my, and then I thought maybe it was that train coming through with the radioactive waste on it.
Radioactive. As it turns out, this is only a play on words, a commercial for KS94 radio.
So to put people's minds at ease, there is not going to be a nuclear war, there is not going to be nuclear trains moving through the area, and Chernobyl is not having problems.
I've heard three of those. Absolutely not.
But two stations, including Channel 5, have temporarily pulled the ad, and they're adding a disclaimer to avoid confusion.
It's very simply, we're going to say paid advertisement by Gannett Radio.
But no one was supposed to take the ad literally, which is what happened. And some have even gone as far as to compare it, on a smaller scale, to a famous broadcast made way back in 1938.
That's when Orson Welles broadcast the famous radio drama, War of the Worlds. And some people thought the Martians had really arrived and panicked. Which brings us back to the commercial and May 11th.
What's it all about?
Some excitement that's going to take place beginning Monday, May 11th.
But you're not going to say what that is.
The end of the week.
Well, at least St. Louis isn't becoming a Chernobyl. There won't be any fallout. But on May 11th, your radio might become...
radioactive.
Whatever that means. I'm John Pertzborn, Channel 5, Eyewitness News.
And that's how you do it. That's how you do it! It was just a goofy way of announcing a new radio station and a new morning show and me on this date back in 1987.
We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is our song.
Dee Snider, Twisted Sister. The only thing about this interview that I regret is I forgot to ask him about the scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where at the very end, where they're having to race through the Paramount studio lot, and Dee Snider is shooting a music video, and Pee-wee and his gang go riding by on the bicycles and everything and screw up the shot. But we got to almost everything else. He's a great storyteller and just one of the classic whack jobs of all time. Dee Snider, Twisted Sister, and our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day. Dee.
JC, what's up?
I am up. I'm up. Eyes wide open.
That's morning radio, dude. You gotta be up. No one wants to hear a tired morning guy.
That's a damn good point. That's a damn good point. Let's rock with this thing. The book is called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic, Dee Snider. I was looking at this thing, and this is written in a very personal style. This book isn't written the way authors write. This is written in a style the way people talk and the way a rock star talks. Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, I guess so. I wrote it myself. And that's the difference. 99% of the books out there, the autobiographies by rock stars and actors and athletes, are not written by the person. But I have done quite a bit of screenplay writing and television writing, and I thought that I could write, and they didn't want me to write. I wrote a couple chapters. They read them, the publishers, and they said, dude, you got a great voice. Write it. And so I wrote every word myself. I'm hoping... Well, that people are starting to get that Dee Snider is not the one-note horn that people thought I was for so long, and that I do so many different other things. But yeah, I mean, I've written and sold a number of things, but the only one who's actually produced at this point was Strangeland, which is a movie I wrote and produced and starred in, a cult horror movie which is responsible for starting the whole torture genre of horror films. I mean, Saw and Hostel, all those movies were inspired by my movie Strangeland.
By the way, I've been in Texas a couple of months now, and I still haven't seen my first Chainsaw Massacre. With that in mind, I want to.
Those are happening everywhere.
To that, I want to take you to page 303, because in here you talk about fall of 1984 and what happened to you guys in the state of Texas. But you had a little trouble back in the day.
Yeah, Amarillo. Which, by the way, now airs my radio show, The House of Hair, which is pretty funny, but just speaks to the fact that what was once dangerous is now sort of like, oh, yeah.
It all comes around, man. It all comes around. What happened in Amarillo? Tell people the story.
Well, you know, Twisted started as a bar band and playing in, like, pretty tough bars, despite our look. I mean, you know, a lot of biker bars, and it was really a young adult experience. And I had quite the tongue as far as cursing and profanity and saying all sorts of absurd things on stage. And as we recorded albums and started performing, I took that act with me, and somewhere in 1984, we crossed a turning point where we suddenly became accepted. And unbeknownst to me, the crowd was changing, and now parents were bringing their children to see the band. So I'm up there cursing like a sailor, and some mom took umbrage and pressed charges, and I was arrested in Amarillo, Texas, for profanity and disorderly conduct. And, you know, it was the worst part, JC, was that what happened, what I said and did, got worse as people telephoned it, you know? So when we went to the next town, like, the stories were like, you know, bestiality and crazy stuff. I was like, wait a minute, I said the F word. What happened here? You know, so, and that's just, and then eventually shows were being canceled, and I was a plague on society.
We got a little involved back in the late 1980s, early 90s in that whole PMRC, Parents Music Resource Center. People will recall that Tipper Gore, the then wife of Al Gore, and a bunch of senators and congressmen's wives, they thought they were going to clean this town up, and they were sticking warning labels on all these albums all over the place. And we took the show to Washington. We were like, what the hell is going on? Rock and roll is about rebellion, and it's always been that way, and why now? And in retrospect, with the benefit of hindsight, when you look back at that period, did they have any sort of point at all, or was it just a completely misguided effort on the part of these rich senator and congressman's wives?
Well, you know what? I mean, they had a point. There are things being recorded and filmed and whatever that are not for everybody, and you know, and that are inappropriate. But their effort to have the government do the parenting, that's where the problem lies. If you're a parent, be responsible and take care of your kids. Okay, you don't need the government to take care of your kids for you. And parents who are in favor of that, then you're just being seduced, so you don't want to take responsibility. And that's what my argument was. You know, if there's, you know, we were talking about, you know, 12-year-olds, not teenagers, and dirty words on a record. You know, if you're a parent, check out what your kid's listening to. And in retrospect, I like to point something out, because I was a scourge of society, as I said. I was a poster boy for everything wrong, you know, and I went there and fought the good fight. And cut to 30 years later, and I'm still married to the same woman. Tipper and Al Gore are divorced. My kids are healthy and happy, and their kids have been busted for possession. All right, so, you know, and I mean, And I'm not really, like, making fun of them as much, saying, don't throw stones.
No, but the irony is just crazy.
Yeah, okay, don't throw, and I still stand by everything that I stood for. Be a responsible parent. Interesting thing about that, though, that moment in time, the PMRC hearings, was recreated in a docudrama called Warning Parental Advisory that was on VH1. I filmed that in Houston in the 90s. And it was so weird, because I was actually in the movie about the event, wearing the clothes I wore when I was there, and there was actors playing everybody else. So it was kind of like being an actual Tyrannosaurus Rex on the set of Jurassic Park.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, the book is called Shut Up and Give Me the Mic, A Twisted Memoir. Dee Snider, thanks for spending a little time with us today.
Pleasure, man. Thanks, JC.
We'll see you, bud. Bye.
Dee Snider, Twisted Sister, snapping a lid on another JC Corcoran podcast here at jconthewine.com for Tuesday, the 4th of May, 2021. Thanks very much for spreading the word. We are adding people every single day, and it's that word of mouth advertising that's so effective, and we really do appreciate it. We are here every weekday morning at 7 a.m., and you can listen anytime you want here at jconthewine.com. Back tomorrow morning. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.